Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Welcome back, Todd Doherty and the Manage Me Podcast. You know, as this podcast has grown a little bit and I've become a little more comfortable with getting guests and topics, there's one that I'm super excited about. Brandon Wilson and I connected over LinkedIn as I am a semi-professional coach and he is a fully-fledged professional coach. We've connected and had some really fantastic conversations about purpose and life and his coaching business. And I'm excited to have Brandon Wilson on. He's a coach, speaker, and facilitator of his own coaching business. So Brandon, welcome to Manage Me Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm like, you know, what is it, fanboy or whatever that term is called. I'm like, this is so cool to actually have, you know, a real coach on. You know, I do coaching in my career internally with my teams, et cetera, and I'm starting this journey externally. And I'm excited to have you on the show because a lot of the things that we've talked about, I think our listeners here can really have some takeaways and maybe they want to reach out to you as well. But before we go into that, tell us about your journey. What is your journey? How did you get here today? How did you become a coach? Why are you coaching? What makes you passionate about it?
Yeah. So I'll kind of start with the end. So I, as a coach, my purpose, I believe, is to help people speak more of themselves into the world. And the reason that I do that is we teach to others what we ourselves most need to learn. My entire life has been a journey of that. When I was growing up, I loved music and theater. I wrote music. I played music for people. I loved to be on stage. I loved to be behind the scenes, setting lights, getting people to feel things by the way that I changed the lighting or did something on stage or played a chord. I loved that idea. And it's interesting that as I grew up and like went through high school and college and then into the professional world, it was interesting that I started to feel like, okay, to be successful, I need to start acting this way. And I need to start doing things like this. And I need to start showing up and speaking like this and saying this. So when I graduated college with a degree in theater and really didn't know what I wanted to do, I had tried doing regional theater and really wanted to put down roots somewhere. So I got a teaching job, teaching at theater at a K-12 school, and very quickly was promoted to the performing arts chair, where I was the youngest performing arts chair at the school, which was super cool. And I didn't know how to lead. And there weren't a lot of trainings so I just saw what other people did and tried to do that and found that after about a year and a half of that, my soul was just leaking out of me daily because I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And so I ran off for a while. I left that job. I worked at a resort in Montana in the middle of the mountains. It was like my little sabbatical and began the journey of who am I and how do I want to show up? And I lived a little bit in Montana, then in Seattle, then got a job at a leadership consultancy in Indianapolis and started giving other leaders the opportunities that I feel that I missed and that I didn't, that I just didn't know about how to not only be effective as a leader, but how to wear those skills authentically. And so that's that. That really took me to a place where I realized I loved that. I did a lot of group facilitated trainings and realized after 5-6 years of that, that I could make more of an impact one-on-one. And so tried that within the consultancy, but it just didn't make sense to stay there. So I started my own business, and I love what I do. And it excites me every day to be talking to people because it's something I've worked on every day of my life and continue to work on.
Wow. That's a really cool story. I'm jealous too, because, you know, I think there's a lot of us, me included, that are trying to find that excitement where you take a passion and your knowledge and you deliver that, and you're excited to jump out of bed in the morning. I know there's lots of folks, including myself, that aren't quite there yet. But let me take a couple pieces of that story. First of all, I thought you were going to say something completely else in the beginning about being shy and introverted, and then you somehow found theater. Nope, you skipped right through that. You have always been kind of out there and in quote unquote the spotlight.
Yep. Totally. Okay. I think if you talk to my parents, I mean, they could regale you for hours about me wanting to be the performer in front of everyone. And trying to influence how people felt about things has been something that I've always wanted to do. I would say that I've, in my younger years, it wasn't always to the world's benefit. Hopefully I'm at a place where it is all more consistently to the betterment of this society.
It's funny you mention that. I don't exactly remember where I read this within the last week or so, but one of the most impactful books I've ever read in my life, and I read it early on, maybe in my early 20s, was Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yes.
And I just heard someone discuss that and said, yeah, they should probably change the title of that, because influence people can come across as negative. And that's clearly not what he meant.
Yep.
It was more around kind of what you were talking about in ways, and there's lots of themes in the book, but, you know, presenting yourself, engaging with people, making people feel a certain way about you so they engage with you, et cetera. And that's a lot about, I think it's a lot of what you're saying as well, is that's something you have to learn to do.
Oh, totally. And it's funny that you bring up that his book, right? Because I was just talking to a prospect, yesterday, the day before, something along those lines. And it was that idea of seek first to understand, then to be understood. That's the way you're really able to influence. And I think it took me, as it takes many of us, years to understand that concept, to be able to get to connect with the other person before I tried to, you know, influence.
Absolutely. The other theme in what you told us kind of about your journey was, I've seen it in the corporate world, and let me just take sales, right? We'll take our best salesperson and we'll promote them to management with the general understanding of, well, the best person in sales must have the best knowledge on how to sell, and that person will then teach everyone else how to sell and we'll have a fantastic sales team. Not always the way, because that person may be great at sales, but not have the skills to be a leader, to train and share their skills. That is a big thing I see in the corporate world, where we, for a number of reasons I've seen, we've gotten away from managerial training, leadership training. And I don't want to paint a broad brush that no one does it. I don't want to say that, but it's less, at least from what it used to be, in my opinion. And like you said, you got pushed into this leadership role because you had all the skills of the music and theater, I think it was. But you didn't necessarily have the leadership training, and that drained you.
Yeah. I do believe that anyone can lead, just like, I mean, you talked about sales there earlier. Anyone can sell, anyone can lead. I totally believe that there is a skill set that's needed. Now, I also believe, and this comes from someone who taught leadership skills and learned a lot about that throughout the journey, and I think I missed the mark towards the beginning, is that leadership skills, and I think I said this earlier, but have to be worn in an authentic way. You have to do it in a way that fits you, or else it's not going to be able to resonate with your people, because people can't feel free to be themselves if they don't see you being yourself.
Yeah. You know, and I've just really kind of recently, maybe within the last year or so, realized that I have this belief about people first, you know, people, process, problems in that order, right? If you have the best people, the right people in the right roles, the best people in the right roles, and you put, give them process, which, you know, tools, process, training, whatever that is, right? You tell them, you're in the right role. I believe you're in the right role. You believe in your right role. Here are the tools to do your role. Problems don't go away, but they should drastically reduce. And I think most of the world focuses on problems, process, people, the exact opposite way. And I've realized that throughout my career, I have never shied away from people, process, problems, even though in many, many times I've been in, you know, my manager leader or the group I'm in or the company, et cetera, did not believe it that way. But I've always said, okay, I hear you, problems first. I would go run my group, people, process, problems. And again, not saying I'm perfect, but I've that has been a belief of mine and will continue to be.
And that's really powerful because it's true. Like the people are the root of everything good and that some of the struggles. And once you're able to connect with the people and make sure you've got the right people on the bus and those sorts of things, you're right. The volume of the problems tends to go down.
Exactly. Now, with that said, that's my philosophy. That's how I manage. That's how I lead. Doesn't mean I'm perfect and I'm awesome at it. It's still really, really, really hard. Especially the people part. I would say early on in my career, I was horrible at it because I treated everyone the same way. And it took me a long time. In fact, I'll never forget what it was. I'm trying not to name names or companies and all that stuff, but we were physically moving my team from one floor to another in the same building. And I was excited about it. Like we get to design our workspace. We get to, you know, I get to think about all the teams I have and kind of group them together instead of just sort of, you know, randomly, you know, assign people desks and stuff. And there was a very sort of a bell curve, very small amount of people who were kind of, you know, yay, this is going to be fun. Opposite extreme, people who were just viciously, I hate this. I do not want to move. This is terrible. And then, you know, kind of the average people mostly who just didn't care. Yeah. And I tried to treat everyone the same across that bell curve. Like, this is exciting. We should be excited. Hey. And I really, there was one person in particular who was in that far end of the bell curve who was just rabidly upset about everything. I mean, color, the floor we were on, the lighting, who they were sitting next to. I mean, just everything was horrible. And I realized that it was me that was the problem. I was so excited about change. They were not. I was treating them as if they were excited about the change. And I needed to figure out what they were feeling, what their concerns were. And I did. And it was okay, but it was almost too late. I had kind of like, it was, you know, the move was underway by the time I almost, you know, really realized that. But that really taught me a lesson about change, about leadership, about you can't just treat everyone the same. And it's harder, the larger the team you have to lead, the more individuals you have to understand and lead. And that becomes very difficult. But you said it best, where you have to present your authentic self and lead in that way.
Yeah, well, and a couple things about your story there. Like number one, I just love your vulnerability in sharing that, because so much of leadership is being able to say, like, yeah, I really screwed that one up back there.
I'm sure they're still talking about it today. Yeah.
Well, and the second thing is it's like one of the big things about change in general is people aren't going to buy into a change that you are promoting unless they fully trust you. And trust takes two real things. Number one, they, and this is really the secondary piece, but I'm going to say it first, they have to know that you know your stuff, right? That you are, and being excited about it, you got to know all those pieces, the logistics, how it's going to work, why it's important, all those things. But they have to know that you have their best interest in at heart, right? And that's like, you care about them as an individual. And so often, I think when, and you brought it up earlier, when the people, the processes, the problems, when we focus just on the processes and the problems, we miss the showing that we care about the individual and hearing and understanding, hey, I get that you're upset. Like, it makes sense. This is scary. It's going to change how you operate day to day. And until they hear that, they're not even going to open their minds in the least to, gosh, this could work.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that ultimately, that kind of mini conversation just said was what I did. Was like, you know what? I get it. I didn't, but now I do. I understand why you're upset. I understand why you're testing me. You're basically testing my trust. Yep. On, well, did you think about this? And what about this? And are our chairs going to fit? And, you know, like every little detail. And it took me too long to realize that, oh, they don't trust me, right? It's part of it. And, oh, they have different feelings than I do about this. And, oh, and a whole bunch of O's that added up. And finally, I got it. Yep. It took me a while.
Yeah, and that's the piece that you brought up, the feelings. It's so important. People don't move unless they feel good about something. And that is, so if you can get a temperature of how exactly they feel, and sometimes asking them, like, what do you feel about this change? Getting into that, that's what's going to give you a lot of insight into how to move the needle on the change.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. So, you know, getting moving, taking that initiative, initiate change, and I'm not going to use the right terms, but the rationalization that sometimes prevents you from doing that. I know you just had some discussions on LinkedIn about that, but tell me more.
Yeah, I believe, and this is a blanket statement, I believe that rationalization is the greatest enemy to change. I believe that we get in our heads and we rationalize away why we shouldn't take a step. And it makes sense. And I talked about this in the video, but I think it's so helpful to realize why that is. And it really is an evolution thing. Like, for thousands of years, if we changed in a way that didn't stay with the status quo of our tribe, that would mean death. That would mean like us potentially running into predators, running into starvation. Like, so our minds were that we survived if we were able to rationalize away changes that we thought of. And yet here we are thousands of years later, rationalizing away exercising every morning, or, you know, like trying to go for that promotion or trying to get another job. And so being hyper aware of when we're rationalizing away is really important, because only when we're aware of it can we actually make that change. And one of the things that I truly believe, and it's a huge part of my practice, is it goes back to that feeling piece. When we're trying to make changes, our brains can often be our enemy. While they are really like well-developed and can help us in so many different situations, in change, we run into uncertainty and our brains aren't well-equipped to deal with uncertainty. And what helps us through uncertainty a lot of times is tapping into what we feel. So being able to slow down and tap into, what am I feeling right now? Because there's a lot of intelligence that our emotions can give us to help us move forward.
You're absolutely right. You know, and at risk of an overused term, maybe it's overused because it's newer to me, but just mindfulness, being able to say that step back and saying, what am I sensing? What am I feeling? Why am I feeling like this? I'll admit, if you asked me, you know, 2 years ago, mindfulness, that's crazy. You know that. But honestly, it's really helped. I've really become more conscious of two things. You know, the one is the being able to stop and pause, right? Instead of just barrel through. Maybe that was my problem with the move, right? I was just barreling through, right? And I didn't stop and pause and think about impact, trust, outcome. What's in it for me, for the team of 50 people that were moving? You know, I didn't stop and think about that. I wasn't honestly being selfish and saying, I don't care. I just didn't think about it. On the flip side, you know, or one level deeper, once you do stop and pause and you figure out, what am I feeling? What am I sensing? there's the other part about it, which is, what am I telling myself, right? Because you are telling yourself. It's not just stopping and pausing and feeling. Yeah. The most powerful thing is that internal voice that says, oh, no, you shouldn't do it. Just you don't need to. You just stay, sleep, hit snooze 4 more times. You don't need to go to the gym today. You know, you're kind of, your shoulder's a little sore. Don't worry about it. That rationalization voice is so darn powerful. But that mindfulness pause allows you to say, wait, is that really me, or is that rationalization?
Yeah, I love that. I was just reading, I've been reading two books, and I'm trying to remember which one it came from.
You're reading two books at the same time? Amazing.
It was either Mystery by Joan Allaire or Subtraction by, and I can't remember the author. But anyway, the concept that was being brought up was, and I hadn't thought about it this way before. So in the past few years, there's been this obsession with hacks, like just quick ways to get from point A to point B. And the reason there's been such an obsession, there's always been an obsession with shortcuts, with finding the quickest way to get from point A to point B. And the reason that is, and there's research to back this up that I'm not going to remember the name of the study because I don't remember the book, but
we'll follow up in the podcast notes.
Yeah, that's right. Our brains are always trying to be as mindless as possible. They want to find ways to turn off for as much time as they can because it saves energy, right? It saves calories. That's why it's easy at the end of the day to turn on Netflix. And that's why Netflix has created the brilliant algorithm where it just keeps playing, right? Our brains are drawn to mindlessness. To be mindful is to your point, you stated it so beautifully, is to when you notice yourself moving in a direction that isn't helpful, it isn't serving you, to press pause and really process. And I believe that's where the feelings can be so helpful, is what am I feeling right now? Because the thought might be, you know, oh gosh, I just want to snooze for a second. What is the feeling behind that? Because when we, and this is from a great book that I actually have on my shelf back here, the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. It walks through how there are, and it talks about it a little bit differently. This is how I talk about it, is there are four core emotions: anger, fear, sadness, and joy. And when we can slow down and notice what's happening in our body, and the way when I'm working with clients is I'll tell them to stop and I'll say, what sensations are you noticing in your body? And they might say, gosh, there's a tightness in my shoulders or in my chest. They're just, it feels like there's a ball of something. And I'll get them to breathe into that. And then as you really feel it and like center in on it, I'll ask them, if you had to bucket that sensation into one of those four core emotions, what would it be? Anger, fear, sadness, joy. And when they're able to tap into, gosh, that's sadness, there's intelligence behind that emotion. Because when we're feeling, say, anger, that's our body trying to tell us that something needs to be either changed or destroyed so something better can be put in its place. When it's sadness, that's our body trying to tell us that something needs to be let go of or moved on from. When it's the joy, it's something needs to be celebrated. And when it's fear, that something needs to be faced or learned. And when we can get that core emotion, it really does give us that next step of how we can move forward. And that's what change is. Change is moving forward.
I love that. And that's from the book, the 15
Commitments of Conscious Leadership. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about the four quadrants, and I was in my head thinking, well, it might be proprietary to Brendan, so I don't want to ask him about it. So I'm glad that you shared it because it's so powerful. And I'm going to use it, you know, that stopping, pausing, mindfulness, and then figuring out, what am I feeling? And, yeah, you know, it's anger. Oh, change. Okay. If it's sadness, you know, it's definitely directional, right? It's not just stop, mindfulness, and what am I sensing? Now it's actionable. Okay. Yeah. Something, what is that I need to change now? Really, really helpful.
It brings clarity to uncertainty. And that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. And I would have given you full trademark patent.
Please don't. Yeah, no, that is one of hundreds of things from that book that are really powerful.
Awesome. My book list is growing. I don't know if I have enough hours in my lifetime to read all the awesome books, but that has now made it into the pile of books that I need to catch up on. I want to backtrack just, well, actually a lot. I should have asked this before, but your I'm going to call it your motto, your tagline is helping leaders speak more of themselves into the world. It's not helping leaders be more of themselves or show more of themselves or fill in the blank. It's particularly speak more of themselves into the world. Is there a reason behind that? Is there any conscious reason for that?
Well, it's totally, it's something that I hear a lot from clients. It's something that I really feel about myself, in that I know that there have been times in my life, and there are even areas now, where I can be reticent to speak up, even when I know that holding that part of myself back takes energy, and it becomes an energy leak when I, you know, it's funny. One of my focus for this year, and I'll say what it is and then give a little background. My focus for this year is default to no. So whenever anything is coming up, my default, and this is an internal default, is no. And the reason that is because I want to be mindful about what I agree to. And I want it to pass a litmus test of, number one, is it going to be fun? Because that is a really important value for me. If it's not fun, I really don't want to do it. And the second piece to it is, does it fall in line with my purpose? Is it going to help me either speak more of myself into the world or someone else speak more of themselves into the world? Because if it doesn't fall within that criteria, I don't want to put my time and energy towards it. And that's something that, even though I've thought it and felt it, I haven't been as true to in the past.
Okay. Powerful. Yeah. Default to no, because I say yes way too easy and then it becomes too much. So yeah, defaulting to no and saying, well, and it's not no, right? It's, does it pass these questions?
It's a pause. It's a pause. It's defaulting to a pause.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I could ask so many questions. I'm thrilled to have you on, and I want to make this powerful and useful for all the listeners. If someone wants to reach out and connect with you, what's the best way, and how does that work, and what's kind of the process?
Yeah. So I'll start with the best way to reach out to me is probably just my email or my website. So it's Brandon@BrandonWilsonCoaching.com. So pretty simple. And my website is BrandonWilsonCoaching.com. The way that I work with clients, and there are a few different ways, as you said, I do speaking engagements. This year I'm launching, a group coaching concept where we meet once a month. It's limited to 8 people, and people bring whatever is on their minds, and I coach them on it as a group, and we gain insights from that. So there's a group program. The program that I love the most and what I've been doing for the longest is the one-on-one coaching, where I work with folks for a minimum of 6 months. And the way that it works is we start by doing a full life assessment. What's working in your life? What isn't working in your life? What gives you energy? What takes energy away? What are all the things you're just tolerating in your world? And through doing that assessment, we get a really clear picture of not only where you are, but we begin to paint the picture of where you want to be. And then as we work together over those initial 6 months, it's driving towards that picture that we paint.
It's awesome. It's so, so powerful. Because the other thing I've learned over the last year or so is, and we've all heard it 100 times or 1,000 times, is, you know, even coaches need coaches, right? And athletes need coaches, and everyone needs coaches. And I think the I guess I'll say particularly in the corporate world, it's like, oh no, it's fine. I don't need to coach. I'll just figure it out, or I'll just, you know, somehow just naturally absorb it by walking through the office or something. I have no idea. But I have found that, you know, it is powerful to have someone external from you with, you know, who's not hearing those internal voices of, you know, what you're telling yourself, but to ask you those very poignant questions about, how are you feeling? Why do you feel this way? What if it looked like this? You can ask yourself that, but you won't get the same answers.
Because the rationalization, we can rationalize away anything. I was talking with a client just the other day, and I do try to bring this up. I believe in what I do so much. I've got two coaches, right? I've got two coaches that I work with, and I do it because there are things that I run into that I need that outside perspective. I need someone to push me to say, Brennan, you're full of shit right now. Like, I need that because right. I can rationalize away and stay in my safe little corner in my room and be just fine. But that doesn't make the impact that I want to make in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll keep it short and sweet. I think this was awesome. And I know I learned a lot. I know I'm sure our listeners learned a lot. Any parting message before we call a wrap and plan our next podcast?
Gosh, no, I'm grateful for, the time that you've given me on your podcast. I'm grateful for your questions. This is fun.
Yeah, no, I thank you. I don't take compliments very well, so I'm working on it. But I'm working on a lot, but I'm thrilled. This is a microcosm, this, you know, 30 or so minutes of what, you know, you do and how well you do it. I encourage folks to follow you on LinkedIn and connect with you to learn more. And Brandon, thank you so much for your time. And I'd love to have you on again. We'll tackle another topic and selfishly I'll learn some more. And hopefully our listeners will too.
I'd love that.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening today. It's always great to share ideas and also get feedback from you. So please send me an email at managemepodcast@gmail.com. Visit my website, manageme.godaddysites.com. And both those areas, whether it's email or website, you can send me questions, you can refer me to sponsors, and I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to have you as a guest. I'd love to hear your thoughts around whether the guests we're having and the topics we're having are working for you, and would love to hear anything that you'd like to hear on the upcoming podcast. Thanks again for listening, and appreciate it.